From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, more Idaho Matters right now. The actor strike has been going on since July 13th. You heard that right. With not much movement, well, until recently. So here to talk more about this, as well as giving us some ideas on what to watch, is our resident movie critic and Morning Edition host, George Prentice. It's always good to see you, George. How are you?
I'm well, Gemma. Thanks so much for the invite, as always.
Okay, so the writers went back to work. They struck a deal a little while ago with the studios. So what's going on with the actor strike, George? Because, I mean, July 13th, that's what, August, September, October? I mean, that's almost 4 months.
Yeah, we're talking over 100 days. And so the writers are, you know, they're back at work, but you cannot film anything without the union actors in front of the cameras. So Hollywood is still pretty much dark, all of their movies and television shows, much of them at least. So SAG, the Actors Guild, the Actors Union, was supposed to come back to the bargaining table this week with executives from Netflix and Disney and Warner Brothers, but they decided not to. They put a little pause because it turns out that the studios have put a new offer in front of them. We don't know what that is, but but SAG said, well, hold on, before we come back to the table, let's take a look at what this offer is. Now, Gemma, you've probably heard about some of the communications that have come from SAG that have not done too well for them as far as their public relations with the general public. Did you hear about this thing with Hollywood costumes?
No, tell.
So SAG sent out an official communication to their members, which is to say most actors in Hollywood, do not wear Halloween costumes that represent characters that we are striking against.
Oh.
Which would include like Barbie and Superman and Batman. And that's insane. But a number of actors said, are you kidding me? Do you want me to like yell scab at my 8-year-old because, you know, she's dressed as Barbie? You know, like, are you insane? And so there was some pushback there. And Melissa Gilbert, you may remember her from Little House on a Prairie, but she was also the president, the former president of SAG. And she wrote, and I've got to read this, former SAG president Melissa Gilbert, quote, "This is what you guys come up with? Literally no one cares what anyone wears for Halloween. I mean, do you really think this kind of infantile stuff is going to end the strike? We look like a joke. Please tell me you're going to make this rule go away."
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, in other words, you know, keep your eye on the ball here. But needless to say, it's gotten a lot of conversation among the union members who are questioning their own union leadership.
So what happens next, George? I mean, I thought they were potentially going to be in talks this week.
Yeah, so the Screen Actors Guild is pretty adamant. They want a cut of streaming revenues. And the studios are not offering a cut of those streaming revenues. But that seems to be, you know, the pinch point here. So something's got to give. But I think that considering how many people are out of work beyond the actors, the pressure now seems to be on the actors' union. Can you please at least strike some kind of deal to get people back to work, even if it's for, you know, a limited amount of time?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the issue right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so many people out of work. Okay, so even though the actor strike is still going on, there are some pretty high-profile films that are actually out right now, so people can still go to the movies, right?
Indeed, and I want to bring to our listeners' attention two projects, one at cinemas and one about to come to our home screens. And it's something, Gemma, you and I have talked about often. And these are both based on best-selling books. One of them, Killers of the Flower Moon, which opened last weekend to pretty good box office. And again, this is a 3-hour, 40-minute movie. It's really, really good. This past weekend, I actually co-hosted an event with a book club. at the Flicks in Boise. And this was their first chance to see the adaptation up on the screen. And the adaptation's a little different, but they were very, very happy. And that's a tough audience to please, right? So, Killers of the Flower Moon on the big screen, absolutely worth your money. And. All the Light We Cannot See premieres on Netflix next week, November 2nd, Thursday. We have been waiting for this. I've been lucky enough to see it in advance. I cannot wait for people to see this. And again, these are going to be 4 one-hour segments. You can look at it as a 4-hour movie. Maybe you want to wait for a few weeks and maybe binge watch them all together, or you can just watch them one at a time. And Anthony Doerr is very, very happy with the adaptation of his Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. And it is as good as anything up on a big screen. It's just going to have to be on your home screen for now.
So, George, are they going to drop all 4 of those episodes at one time on Netflix? Because I know sometimes they don't do that.
Yeah, and Netflix is pretty notorious for not doing that. Think of The Crown, right? And Netflix, they want to keep you going. They want to, right? They want to keep your membership. Yeah. They want to keep that money rolling in. So, they're going to drop them one at a time.
Oh, I have to say that's not my favorite when they do that. But
it's worth it, though. I got to tell you, it's worth it.
Well, I have to say, to this day, it is hands down for me the best book I have ever read in my life.
You know what's so interesting about this, and you'll see this when you watch it, each episode ends with a cliffhanger. So it's a little bit like how a chapter ends, right? And because there were cliffhangers all through the book, right? So it really keeps you going. It's going to be a lot of water cooler conversation the morning after these things drop. Yeah.
Well, I have a feeling you and I will be chatting about it once I watch it.
Indeed.
All right. We have seen some great movies come out over the years, George, about musical icons. I mean, I think about Freddie Mercury. I mean, Tina Turner, Elton John. So apparently there's another one coming out.
Yeah, it opens next week. It is Joan Baez, I Am a Noise. And it is a raw and quite intimate portrait of the legend who is Joan Baez. So, Gemma, I was digging through my archives last evening, and I found a recording of Joan Baez. This is 1962. And we have to remind ourselves of that phenomenal voice that she had, that clarity that she had that was just that rang like a bell. And I found a documentary from Britain, 1962, just Joan Baez and a guitar and a television audience, and she is trying to lead them in song, but just as a reminder of that voice. Let's listen.
We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall.
Totally unplugged, all acoustic, I mean, unmistakable voice. And need I remind anyone that Joan Baez performed at the March on Washington with Martin Luther King long before it was fashionable. She would march with causes that were dear to her heart. But in this, and by the way, she is in her 80s now. Joan Baez is in her 80s now. So in this movie, she agreed. So the filmmakers initially said, can we document your final tour? So she just completed her final tour of her career, and can we do that? And she said, sure, but I want this to be a little bit more. Let's listen.
Going in was, why don't we do something about Joan's last tour? And I decided I really wanted to leave an honest legacy, you know, about everything. And so that's when I gave the directors a key to my storage unit.
Well, inside that unit, and it's a unit that she didn't even know all that was in there, inside are home movies and diaries, some artwork, therapy tapes, some audio recordings. there are some secrets that are unveiled in this documentary that are heartbreaking. Of course, some of them we know about. Her personal relationship with Bob Dylan that ended in heartbreak, right? But it's an amazing career. And by the way, she still can sing. She has lowered her voice to a lower register, but her voice is still phenomenal. So the film is called Joan Baez, I Am a Noise. It is, it's one of those movies that needs a little love. It is certainly not Taylor Swift by any means, but but it opens next week at the Flix. And if you like history and music and culture and all of that intersection, do not miss this movie, Joan Baez, I Am a Noise.
Well, I love the title, George.
She was a noise for change. She was a noise of protest. But what a beautiful noise. Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, my kids always just say I'm a noise because I'm so loud. So there you go. You know?
Yep.
Okay. I love a good comedy, George. I think, my opinion, that I think they are hard to come by. Like, there are a lot of comedies out there, but finding a really great comedy. And you think there's one out there right now?
I know there's one out there. It's about to open. And I saw this one in Toronto and I fell in love with it. It's a little movie called Quiz Lady. I think Awkwafina is one of the great comedic talents of her generation.
Oh, she's hilarious.
I think she's phenomenal. So in Quiz Lady, Awkwafina plays this very meek, modest person, a young woman, but she's also obsessed with this particular game show on television. It's a bit like Jeopardy. And so usually she sits in her living room with her sister, who is played by Sandra Oh, so you know that this is going to be great. And and the Awkwafina character, she just rattles off all of the answers. Well, one day her character gets a call from the nursing home that her mother has gone missing. And a loan shark approaches her saying her mother owes him like all this money. And somehow she's got to get this money, to basically save her mom. So Sandra Oh and Awkwafina, their characters decide to, you guessed it, go to this game show. And by the way, the Will Ferrell plays the game show host. So let's take a listen.
Yes?
Hi, I have some bad news.
We lost your mom.
What? Sorry, that was terrible phrasing. I meant we don't know where she is.
Annie, it's finally happened. Oh my God, it's okay. It's okay, I'm here. We're home. Oh my God, you're orphan Annie.
She's not dead. She ran away. The f***.
And yum. Your mom owes me 80 grand. When you have it, you'll get your dog back.
I don't have any money.
You can sell your eggs. I mean, it's not like you're using them.
No, there has to be another way.
What is the square root of 196?
14.
Correct. How many hearts does an octopus have?
3.
Correct.
What?
Saffron, Saturn, Aphrodite, Apollo, Aries, carbon dioxide.
The equal sign.
Correct.
Oh my God.
What? You know this game.
This is how you're gonna make the money.
I'm taking you to the quiz.
Look out!
Learn how to drive.
Racist!
So, Sandro and Awkwafina, it's great. It's called Quiz Lady. It drops next week on Hulu. I think it was good enough to go into the theaters, but it will be on Hulu exclusively. Next week, it's called Quiz Lady. And by the way, when I saw this film, I had to recall Will Ferrell when he portrayed Alex Trebek on the old SNL, right? Celebrity Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. So I dug out an old clip. Let's listen.
And finally, with negative $130,000, Sean Connery is here yet again.
I wouldn't miss it for the world, Trebek. I turned down Harry friggin' Potter for this.
Please, God, take me now. Let's take a look at the board. And the categories are potent potables, Batman or Robin. That's where we show you a picture and you say whether it's Batman or Robin. Next, we have point to your nose, things mom gave you, celebrity photos. Keep in mind that every one of these photos will be one of you. And finally, connect the dot.
Connect the dot. You know, Will Ferrell as Alex Trebek, the biggest fan of that was Alex Trebek. He loved when Will Ferrell portrayed him, and boy, we miss Alex Trebek. But Will Ferrell channels that in this movie, Quiz Lady, so that's kind of this extra little bonus. So I highly recommend. Look for it. It's called Quiz Lady. It will stream on Hulu.
Well, I am so looking forward to it. George, it's always such a pleasure to have you come in. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Gemma.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me. And I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.